The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Welcome to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and I'm very excited about today's show. I want to express my appreciation for our listeners. It's starting a new year. We have over 28,000 people listening to us every month, and we just started in May. So thank you for listening and share our wonderful experts with anyone you know. Today, we're talking about what your teeth want you to know. We see shiny white smiles on our TV and movie stars, and we assume they've had a lot of work to make their teeth perfect. But what about our own teeth? What keeps them healthy and beautiful for a lifetime? What if the conventional methods of caring for teeth could be causing tooth breakage, toxic leakage, neurological disorders, memory loss, inflammation, and even environmental degradation? More than 30 years ago, experts began urging that safer new methods be adopted, but most people still don't know about their options. My guest this week on Family First is Dr. Donald Robbins, a graduate and former instructor from the University of Pennsylvania School of Dental Medicine. He's practiced dentistry for 35 years and been a really outspoken leader in the move for safer dentistry. He's developed the BioSafe Dentistry System, which helps protect the patient, dentist, and staff from dangerous chemicals often used in dentistry. He's the author of the new book, The Toxic Dental Office, How to Protect Yourself and Your Family, and he'll share with us information we need to choose the healthiest dental care we can for our family. I'll tell you a little more about his background. Dr. Donald Robbins has measured the toxic mercury vapor exposure from silver mercury amalgam fillings in his patients' mouths for over 7 years. He's presented his findings to the North American College of Clinical Toxicology and also to the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, Dental Products Panel in Washington, D.C. He appeared on NBC 10 News to rebut the American Dental Association's claim that silver amalgam fillings are safe. His was the cover story in the magazine Doctor of Dentistry, and he hosts his own radio show about dentistry. He lectures widely and writes for the dental page for the National Autism Organization, ARI and DANS, on autism.com. He advocated strongly for the Informed Patient Consent Bill, which did pass in the city of Philadelphia. He's a fellow in the Academy of General Dentistry, master in the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, former diplomat of American Academy of Pain Management, and former fellow of the International College of Craniomandibular Orthodontics. So obviously he's involved in everything related to oral health. He founded the Four Learning Group LLC, which is a learning group for health professionals, and he founded the Dental Training Center for training dental technicians. So thank you very much for being a guest on our show. Dr. Robbins, welcome.
Great. Thank you for having me. After that introduction, I don't know what else I can say.
Well, I'm really looking forward to asking some questions about all you've learned about keeping our teeth healthy. So how did you first become interested in taking care of people's teeth, Dr. Robbins?
Just a need, a desire to try and help people get healthier and trying, especially with dentistry, people are scared, most people are scared of going to the dentist, and it's the fear of the unknown. But quite honestly, after many years in practice, I could see why they should be scared about going to the dentist, because there's a lot of things going on in the dental office that are kind of archaic and have never been haven't been updated. And it was in the 80s when I started to do some some increasing thought, and I changed my practice to try and accommodate the whole patient, not just treating a tooth. And that became a very important concept for biosafe dentistry.
That's neat. I read a wonderful book back in the late 70s called Open Door to Health, and it was all about how the health of the teeth is a symptom of your overall health. So what made you look deeper into the substances and procedures after you finished dental school and trying to make it more safe and develop your biosafe dentistry idea?
Sure. Randy, how did you feel when your parents finally told you that there was no Santa Claus?
Well, my parents were really good at that. They kind of let me ask questions until I came up with the answer myself.
Oh boy, you were that was good. That was a good way to do it.
Basically, yeah, that's how I learned a lot of parenting from my parents. That's why I'm a parenting expert.
Well, you know, when you find out the Easter Bunny's not there, Santa Claus isn't there, I hope I'm not giving in any information to people who don't know that. But you have a sense that you were a little bit betrayed, that this can't be true, that this is, you know, you've been told this for so many years, and all of a sudden it's not there anymore, and there's a little bit of a letdown. Well, this is very much what happened to me. I graduated dental school, and I taught at dental school, and I believed everything they taught me. And then when I got out in the 80s and looked at the data, I'm talking, Randy, about the scientific studies, the stuff outside of the American Dental Association, outside of the Academy of General Dentistry, the scientific articles out there in PubMed and the medical world and the scientific communities, the toxicology groups, and every one of them pointed to hazards of mercury and fluoride in the dental office. And I kind of felt betrayed that I was taught something that was actually detrimental to a patient's health, because every one of those studies pointed to the toxicity and health problems that these things caused. And yet I couldn't get dentists to update their thinking into a more healthy way of treating the body by doing dentistry. So that kind of spurred me forward into developing my own system of treating patients, which I've been doing for now for over 20 years, and with a great deal of success. So that's kind of where it came from. But the initial reaction that I had, I was very disappointed that dentistry is still being taught in the dark ages, and they're still maintaining that things like fluoride and mercury and in the mouth is perfectly safe.
Well, I think it's quite courageous of you to really not only be making that change in your own office, but also being really outspoken about it and testifying with government agencies to try to get some reaction. And also educating the people, because a lot of change in professional life comes from the customers and clients insisting. So I really laud what you're doing. Can you explain a little more about how problems in the mouth can be related to overall health?
Well, the American Dental Association is a trade organization, and I think that's the problem there. We as Americans think of the American Dental Association, the American Medical Association, as looking out for the health of the public. You've got to realize these organizations are trade organizations, and in any trade organization, the first responsibility of the people who head it is to take care of their members. Now, health of the public may be second, but the first thing is to take care and protect their own people. I mean, that's true with any trade organization.
Lawyers as well, yes.
Yeah, right. So you can't look to them for unbiased, honest, true information necessarily, because they have an axe to grind, they have money to make, they have people to protect. So therefore, I had to go outside and do things that were recommended outside of the recommendations of the American Dental Association, which still recommends that mercury fillings are fine in spite of all the thousands of articles to the contrary. And what we're finding now is that what I've been holding, and several other people have been holding for 20 years, is now coming to fruition. In the last couple of years, there are over 200 cities in the United States whose local boards have voted down fluoridation. And that was because some of the organizations I support went in there and they told them exactly what the science was behind the fluoride, how it was damaging the body, which we can get into in a little bit. And the mercury situation is the same. We have people suing the FDA to try and get them to rule against mercury being put in people's mouths, which is obviously a toxic material that's causing tremendous health consequences to our public. And so things are starting to slowly change, but it has not been easy to do that.
After reading your book, I've talked to people and said, well, everybody's giving up tuna and swordfish because of the mercury, but do you know where the mercury is coming from? And
right.
They're just amazed that so much of the mercury that is polluting our environment is from the dental offices.
That's true. The study done in 1991 by the World Health Organization of the UN, it was a huge treatise on mercury in the public, basically, and what it pointed out that the average fish intake of a person is 1/7 the amount of mercury exposure of an average patient with dental fillings. So in other words, someone who has an average person who has an average number of silver mercury dental fillings has 7 times the mercury exposure of an average person eating an average amount of fish. So this whole thing about everybody's worried about pregnant women eating fish and too much fish to give you mercury toxicity, and that is a real possibility if you eat a lot of it. But you're talking about 7 times more than the average person is getting exposed by the mercury fillings. This is 1991, and nobody's really been up in arms about this.
Yes, it's quite amazing because it is causing so many problems for people.
So you don't have to worry about fish, folks. You really got to worry about making sure that you get this mercury out safely from your mouths. The way it is now, about half the dentists, a little less than half the dentists in the United States are still putting mercury in patients' teeth. The other half is doing half a job. They're not putting it in, but they don't realize that when you drill out old mercury fillings to put in porcelain, to put in white bonded fillings, when you drill out that mercury filling, you're exposing the patient, your staff, and yourself tremendous amount of mercury vapor, which can make you sick also. So that's the second piece of the puzzle that I've been kind of also dealing with, trying to educate dentists how to take mercury out safely from the teeth without exposing everyone and getting them sick.
That makes so much sense. I actually had all my silver fillings removed in the 80s when I learned about this, but I later learned the dentist who did it did develop dementia in his 70s and had to retire.
You know, I'll put a little bee under your bonnet here. You know, dentists have used to have the highest suicide rate. I guess everybody, a lot of people out there knew that. Did you know that?
I had read it in your book, yes. Okay, I know, well, doctors in general, but dentists apparently even beat out most doctors.
Yes, and now they're like number three. And what my opinion is that dentists were using mercury. They were getting dementia. They were getting mercury as depressant. They were getting depressed, and it was causing a higher suicide rate. What's happened now is half the dentists out there aren't putting mercury fillings in anymore. And wow, all of a sudden their suicide rate goes down. In my opinion, there's a connection there.
Oh, it is going down. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
As fewer of them are exposing themselves to the mercury. That makes a lot of sense. So what are the symptoms, some of the symptoms that mercury toxicity can cause that people may not realize is related to what's going on in their mouths?
Yeah, I see, being in the practice that I have people coming from all the United States who are concerned about this. People who have had one filling out and have gotten ill. People who have had several fillings out and have gotten very, very ill. And some of the symptoms can be, well, here's a situation. The American Dental Association would say, look, here's a person that has all these mercury fillings, they're fine. Here's another person that has no mercury fillings, they're fine. It obviously has nothing to do with the mercury fillings because they're both fine. The issue really comes down to genetics. Certain people can excrete mercury at a better rate than others. And we know that pretty much with autistic children who have had thimerosal and vaccines. I'm sure you've gotten into that at one time.
Yes.
And the children who can excrete mercury real well can stay healthier longer. The ones that do not have that genetic ability to excrete it will develop autistic spectrum disorders, or may develop, I should say. And that's because they're not able to excrete the mercury real well. So consequently, I have a patient that comes in the office all the time, say, oh, I just went to Dr. So-and-so, I had a mercury filling come out, and drilled out, a filling put in, and then my fingers tingled, or I had a rash, or all of a sudden for several days I had the flu. I had trouble concentrating. My finger, my toes went numb. I had stomach distress for like months. I had one woman come in, had one filling removed without protection, and went into leaky gut syndrome and had really severe gastrointestinal problems. It took her 2 years to come back to normal, and then she came in to me to have them out safe, the remaining fillings to have out safely. So there's a myriad of symptoms you can have. Now, Randy, even the ones that can excrete well, it eventually will catch up to you. It's kind of like x-rays. Mercury accumulates in the body, and eventually it's going to take its toll. In Alzheimer's disease, in MS, in Parkinson's disease, these days mercury is a very strong contributing factor to those disorders, and that's later in life in most cases.
Wow, that's so important that people that have these conditions, this is one way they can maybe reduce the symptoms or slow it down a bit. That's so powerful. Why did Dennis start using the silver mercury amalgams in the first place, Dr. Robbins?
Well, the National Surgeons Association was formed in the 19th century, and they're, for the dentists at that time, there were only like 300 dentists in those days, and it was formed for the group. And one of the things the dentist had to sign was an affidavit they would never use mercury in teeth, because at that time physicians even knew how deadly mercury was to people. What happened was, though, in those days there was no other filling material, and the dentists that wanted to keep in business were starting to put mercury fillings in people's teeth. So they overturned this surgeon society. It went out of business, and within a year or two, a new society took over that advocated it was okay to put mercury fillings in people's teeth. The name of that organization in the 1886, I think, was the American Dental Association. It was born with mercury fillings. And it actually, every mercury filling that went into a tooth in those days, the American Dental Association would get a certain dollar amount from that dentist. So, consequently, there was a real strong financial incentive. So in order to stay in dentistry, dentists had to start putting mercury fillings in. There was nothing else they could use.
My goodness. Now, obviously, there are some major alternatives now, and I want to discuss that. We're coming up on a break. So
sure.
Briefly, you mentioned that the ADA is already, they're looking after their dental clients, basically. They're members of the trade association.
Sure.
And so I want to talk about what alternatives are out there now. So I think we're up on a break, but we'll be back listening to Dr. Robbins and telling how we can make our dental offices safer.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news. and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back to Family First. We're talking about what your teeth want you to know with Dr. Donald Robbins, who has a wonderful book called The Dental Office and how to protect yourself and your family. And he's been a leader in trying to educate his profession and government agencies and the public about the dangers of conventional dental treatment with silver mercury amalgams and recommending fluoride for everybody. He just gave us a little history of why dentists originally started with the silver amalgam fillings, but now we have much better alternatives. So can you describe them just a bit, Dr. Robbins?
Sure. We don't use, the only metal that I use in my practice right now is titanium, and it's 100% titanium when we do an implant. Everything else I do is either porcelain or composite resin or bonded materials. There's no need to use any other metals in restoration of teeth. They all do leak. They all do corrode. You find them in cells elsewhere in the body after a certain amount of time. So we want to try and eliminate that. So I haven't been using any kind of metals for at least 15, 20 years now. The materials you want to use in a tooth are a porcelain material or a composite resin or white bonded material. That's all you really need to restore teeth. You don't need to put any of these metal restorations in the teeth. The new bonded materials will last longer than your metal restorations. And dentists, the standard of care in this country, Randy, is still a porcelain with a metal undercasting to restore a tooth with a crown. And that's like unnecessary. Also, you could just use straight porcelain bonded to the tooth. It's safer, healthier, looks better, and the gums like it. There's no recession. It does a much better job. I would, since you have, you know, this family first program, I think we ought to, if you wouldn't mind, addressing what your listeners can do to protect themselves from being exposed to some of these toxic materials, you know, mercury, fluoride in the dental office.
Definitely.
Because if we can do that. One thing you should do is really insist. I've had patients come into me because their dentist put them in tears or their hygienist put them in tears. My hygienist made me feel like 2 cents because I didn't want fluoride for my child. Well, they're smarter than the hygienist is. You don't want to use any fluoride treatment on your children. Fluoride does not stop cavities like we were told. As I said earlier, I was disenchanted and I was very upset that I was told how great fluoride was. And when I looked at the science behind it, it really is not doing what they said it does. In fact, it hurts the body. Fluoride is something that will cause brittle bone disease. It kills thyroid cells. So there's a lot of things that you want to avoid and you have to insist. If you sit down in the chair, your dentist says, well, you have this cavity, we're going to put in a silver filling in it, just say no. And say you want a bonded filling regardless. And if he can't do that, you get out of the chair and you go to somebody who knows what they're doing. Because that's very, very important. Do not feel intimidated in the doctor's office.
Yeah, I'm a big advocate of that. Being a lawyer also, I really try to tell families that they can insist on their rights of know their options and ask for what they want. And if you have a health care professional who makes you feel bad for making your own decisions about your health, then you need to find another one.
That's true. And they, with the website that I developed, biosafedentistry.com, there is a database being built where the dentists listed there do have more knowledge about safety and health considerations than your general dentist who just is still doing the stuff they learned 30 years ago in dental school. You just put in, it's a regional thing, you can put in your address and find a, hopefully find a dentist near you. There's more and more dentists out there doing things similar to what I am, but not enough at this point. So you really have to look around.
And I found it really interesting when you described about how fluoride was a pollutant as a result of our Manhattan Project during the Second World War.
That's correct.
And that the dentist got on the bandwagon to say that it was safe and actually that it was beneficial. We all grew up on those ads saying, you know, that the ADA commended fluoride. But I tell people that it is a waste product. And the way I knew about that was I lived up in upstate New York in the late 70s, and we were helping out some Indians with legal issues. And we found that there were a number of aluminum refining plants along the St. Lawrence River, and fluoride was one of the waste products of
that
process.
Right, of
and
aluminum,
it was,
yeah.
It was in the water of the Indians. They were drinking, and the Indians had these mottled teeth, and all the Indians knew that it was because of the aluminum refining plants, but they could not get any action to protect them or filters for the public water or anything. And so the Indian children were wandering around looking like, you know, looking badly, and that caused even more discrimination against them. It was just a pitiful
Well, that's horrible.
Circle.
And you know what? The United States Health Service was at fault, is still at fault with trying to promote this fluoride in the water. They insist that it's just for 30, 40, 50 years, they've insisted it's a cosmetic issue. It's a cosmetic issue, Randy. Absurd to think that it could change your tooth structure, and it wouldn't affect anything else in your body. Just empirically, it just doesn't make sense. If it could change your teeth to make them look brown, mottled, soft, or whatever, to think that it wouldn't affect your bones or other systems in your body, it's just absurd. And that's exactly the problem. It does affect many systems in your body. Fluoride has been shown to cause cancer, and that's in a study in Harvard from many years ago, three times as much possibility of teenage boys getting osteosarcoma in fluoridated water communities as non-fluoridated water communities. It kills thyroid cells. Just as an aside, your listeners may be interested, in the turn of the century, in the 1900s, if you had hyperthyroidism, if you had sweats, your heart was racing, you were anxious, you couldn't sleep, and you went to the doctor, he would diagnose hyperthyroidism, and the treatment of choice at that time, they injected your thyroid with fluoride. Because fluoride kills thyroid cells. And by killing some of the thyroid cells, they lowered the effect of hyperthyroidism. Of course, sometime in the 30s, 20s, 30s, someone figured out, well, maybe this isn't such a good idea because we really don't have a lot of control. And what they were doing was they were killing a lot of thyroids. So I ask you, do we have a situation of hypothyroidism in this country where people are on Synthroid and thyroid replacement hormones, and 60% of the water in the country is fluoridated? Maybe there's a connection there. It would seem to me that would be the first place to look.
Yes, yes. A lot of studies could be done just by things, interesting associations, we should say.
Right. And fluoride does a lot of nasty things, too, that just came out from India and from China, from Mexico studies, because this country doesn't give grants for these type of studies. It's just like the Air Force, no ask, no tell.
Right.
So
right.
If they find out, if the Public Health Service finds out fluoride is really damaging, they're going to actually have to take action against some of the big businesses and the FDA and everything else, and they don't want to do that. But the studies that are coming from overseas have shown, number one, in fluoridated areas, women give birth to low birth weight, full-term babies. Now, when I mean low, low birth weight, 1.5 pounds, full-term, that's fluoride.
Oh, my.
Those are studies that are being done. Second thing that's coming out in about half a dozen studies now is that in areas where children grow up with fluoridated water, they have as much as a 10-point decrease in their IQ as children growing up in areas where there isn't fluoridated water. So we can actually call this the dumbing down of America as we try and fluoridate the water. I mean, these are pretty serious effects of this stuff that we're allowing in the water. The National Kidney Foundation said, oh, God, it must be about 10 years ago, that we shouldn't put fluoride in the water because because it affects your kidneys, and people on dialysis are having a lot of trouble and are dying, actually, because they can't get this. The fluoride is damaging their kidneys further. So there's it's study upon study, but we can't seem to get the powers that be to take a stand on this.
Yeah, I know there have been moves many times, and it's been in the legislature in Pennsylvania, and I remember back in the 70s when I was learning these things in the 80s, you know, if you were against fluoridation, they thought you were some kind of quack. Or not a quack, a weird person. So it's great that these studies are coming out, but we have to get people to pay attention to them. So you mentioned at the break that it's incredibly important even in pregnancy before the child's born, and that's horrible, the low birth weight full term. Can you expound a little more on that, and how can parents or would-be parents insist that they get water that's not fluoridated and not use pills or prenatal pills that have fluoride in them?
If I could get one message across to your listeners, it would be to women who are trying to get pregnant, who want to have a baby, and women who are pregnant at this time. Number one, do not take any fluoride supplements. Do not give your baby fluoride supplements. They are going to cause mottled teeth, and in a lot of cases, they will also damage the health of the child. And I can't make that statement without backing it up with references, and my book is full of references of this kind of thing. So you don't want any fluoride while you're carrying. You don't want any fluoride to the baby afterwards. It's dangerous for the child's health. Number two, mercury in your teeth, the silver, and if you have any silver fillings in your teeth, these have 50% actual mercury. Those should not be taken out when you're pregnant, because there's risk of exposing your baby to too much mercury toxicity. Too much mercury vapor when you drill them out is serious. The baby accumulates mercury 10 times more than the mother did. And there was a study done a couple of years ago that showed that even though there wasn't that much mercury in the mother's blood, in the umbilical cord, and in the baby, there was huge amounts of mercury. And mercury is neurotoxic. So we also worry about giving birth to an autistic child. Well, mercury is neurotoxic. If the child is exposed to mercury while its neurological system is developing, we have a real serious problem. So number one, if you're thinking of getting pregnant, get the mercury fillings out of your mouth, but get them out safely. Go into somebody who takes precautions so you don't get exposed. If you are pregnant, do not get your mercury fillings out unless it's an actual emergency situation where they had to do one tooth or something. And afterwards, I don't even take mercury fillings out of a nursing mom because it does get in the milk also, because the mercury vapor, you inhale it, it gets into your bloodstream, and it will get into the mother's milk and go right into the baby, developing child. So we don't want that to happen either. So I err on the side of caution and prevention. And this is extremely important for your listeners.
Yes, I had a friend in high school who got a scholarship to MIT. He was brilliant, but he was working in the chem lab as part of his scholarship, and he used to play with the mercury on the lab. It ruined his life. It completely ruined his life, and it took him 6 years to figure out what the problem was. Meanwhile, he'd lost his wife and changed his life completely. And since then, he's always been trying to educate people about the toxins in the environment. I think it's really important to emphasize that this is a vapor that can affect you, because when you see mercury in your chem class, it looks like this little solid thing that moves around on the table, but it's vaporizing constantly out of your mouth or from
right.
The chem lab.
Right. It comes out. The only heavy metal that's gaseous at room temperature. So, and liquid at room temperature, actually. So you want to avoid that. What you say is exactly right. The mercury gets absorbed through your skin. So when we do precautions that are outlined in my book and on my website, you can see that your face, your skin, exposed skin has to be covered. We have to, and we also have machines that suck in the exhaust from the mouth when we drill out a mercury filling, because I don't want to get sick. I don't want my staff getting sick. I don't want mercury vapor in the office. So these devices we use capture the mercury vapor at the mouth and not let it go back into the room. So this stuff is pretty deadly, and it's causing a lot of health problems that this country doesn't seem to want to face at this point.
And I think it's an important point that even to protect the dentist himself or herself and the staff and their families, it's important to take all these precautions that you've talked about when there is mercury in the patient or in the office. And I think also so many people think, well, silver filling sounds pretty innocuous, but when you say it's 50%, I just want to emphasize that too. Mercury is not just some little, 3% to make it more malleable or something. It's 50%. That's just a euphemism to call them silver fillings.
No, that's true. It has other effects on the body, mercury, too. It has tremendous cardiovascular effects. There was a study done in the 1990s where they looked at people who died of car accidents, and they looked at the heart muscle itself, the actual cells in the heart muscle, and they measured the amount of mercury in the heart muscle. And then they looked at people who died of cardiomyopathies. There was a enlargement of the heart, and they died of a heart attack type of thing, or enlarged heart or heart disease. And they looked at those people, and they found that the people who died of cardiovascular problems had 62,000 times the level of mercury in the actual cardiac muscle as people who died from other reasons.
My goodness.
Now, I don't know why, but don't you think the American Heart Association would be looking at that with a microscope to find out if maybe part of the reason we have cardiovascular incidents is that maybe there's some mercury toxicity that's interfering with the functioning of your heart muscle? Because that was just a legitimate study that was an unbiased study that showed how much mercury was in these hearts that were dysfunctional and causing death. So that's another thing that mercury does. It does cause confusion. It does cause MS. And I have people coming in the office and say, I have these problems. If I get these mercury fillings out safely, will these problems go away? Will I go back to normal? And what I say to them is I can't guarantee that. I can guarantee that if we get the mercury out safely, you will no longer be exposed to this toxic material. I said, but remember that mercury is a neurotoxin, number one. If it has killed nerve cells, those nerve cells may not regenerate. So there is a point of no return for some of this where you may not improve dramatically after having them out. However, you may not get worse faster if they were still in there. So just anecdotally, Randy, my patients usually, I would say 9 out of 10 when they come back, like 6 months, a year after they've had all their mercury fillings out, they will normally report to me some amazing improvements in their health. And I should probably be documenting more of that, but I haven't. But people tell me, oh, I have more energy, I don't have to sleep as much. Wow, my mind's clearer, I can think better, and that kind of thing. But equally well, I get new patients come in the office, oh, I just had all these fillings again, and I have mind fog. I can't concentrate, I can't think straight. Do you think it could have something to do with the mercury that was taken out? And obviously it does. Unless you protect yourself, this is going to have an effect on your overall well-being.
They may have gotten a bigger shot of it as it was being removed.
Exactly.
Dr. Robbins, we're up on another break, but when we come back, I want to talk about the nutritional angle and tell my own story about having the mercury removed.
Okay.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun?
Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
The Total Education Network is the only network that airs shows 7 days a week on various stations. Please go to our website, www.totaltutor.org, for more information about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the Total Education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide educational news and tips for parents. The Total Education Network, the talk shop for parents, teachers, and administrators. That's www.totaltutor.org.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Donald Robbins, who's an outspoken leader in the dental field for safer dentistry. He's developed a biosafe dentistry system, which you can find at his website. And we're talking now about especially the dangers of mercury and fluoride. And I just wanted to tell my story. When I had the silver mercury fillings removed in the 80s, the early 80s, I had one more filling that the dentist hadn't found, and he said, oh, no, we got them all. And I said, no, I know there's still an electrical activity going on in my mouth. And he looked and looked, and he finally found this little filling in the far back. But I could feel that there was still some kind of electrical thing going on in my mouth. And people think I'm crazy when I say that, but no. I told him to keep looking. It was there.
Isn't that amazing that he didn't find it? That's kind of odd.
Yeah, well, he was the only guy in the area that was doing this in dentistry in that 1980, and he was teaching the dangers of mercury and fluoride, but he didn't see that little one in the back.
Right.
You said you have some ideas for healthy toothpaste and some other ways that parents can protect their children from some of these toxins.
Sure, and if your listeners want to get in touch with me, they can email me at drrobbins, Dr. Robbins, R-O-B-B-I-N-S, at donaldrobbinsdmd.com, or they can go to the website, as you said, donaldrobbinsdmd.com or biosafedentistry.com. There are things that in toothpaste, obviously, you can tell by now that I'm recommending fluoride-free toothpaste. You want to use a toothpaste that does not have fluoride in it. When I wrote my book, I looked at literally hundreds of toothpastes, and just because they don't have fluoride, doesn't necessarily mean you want to use them. There's other things like sodium lauryl sulfate and artificial food dyes you don't want. There's some things that are very abrasive that can hurt your teeth. One of the toothpastes that I did recommend was that I do actually carry in the office now because my patients had a little trouble sometimes getting it. It was Burt's Bees fluoride-free mint. And if any of your listeners have trouble getting that, they can go to the BioSafe Dentistry site and order it. But that toothpaste I found had the least objectionable ingredients, and it actually had some positive antimicrobial effects. But you should not be using fluoride toothpaste in your house. It's dangerous, especially if you have children 1, 2, 3 years old. If they swallow it, they can be very, very sick. There's 1 or 2 deaths a year reported to the Poison Control Center from because of children eating toothpaste, young children, because they make it so good, Randy. I mean, you know,
yes,
cherry-flavored and blueberry-flavored, and the little young kids might eat this they can go into a coma and they can pass away, quite honestly. It's tragic. There's over 3,000 to 4,000 emergency room visits because of children eating fluoride toothpaste, so every year. So it's not so, you know, you don't hear that from Crest or Colgate, of course. They tell you to just lob it on. So that's something that the parents really should do. In terms of not of getting your mercury fillings out, if you can't find a dentist that you know, in your local community that seems to know how to take precautions, you can go to BiSafe Dentistry. There's some products there that you can take on your own that will help capture the mercury as your dentist removes it, so that it doesn't go into your tissues, that it gets excreted from your body. There's a protocol we use in the office. We use a Protect Pack, A and B, which will help get some of this toxic stuff out before it really does damage to your body. The best thing, of course, is to find a dentist who takes precautions and go to them, of course.
So I know that you're a big advocate of adequate nutrition to prepare for the dentistry, but also to keep the teeth healthy and also to detoxify when there's been toxic exposure. So could you explain some of your favorite components in the nutrition arena?
Sure. As I say, that's on biosafedentistry.com. And the only reason I mention it is if people can't remember this, it's listed there. You want glutathione is probably the best, one of the best compounds you can take, nutritional supplements that help lock on to heavy metals in your body and help excrete them. You want to take high doses of vitamin C in a buffered powder. You want to do things like that. The Protect Pack that we have also, as I say, pulls stuff out. But I also want to make sure that the patient is nutritionally supported. They should have some basic nutritional supplementation in many cases, even if they're eating a good diet. And I'm a very big proponent of high-dose, mega-dosing vitamin C, as Linus Pauling used to advocate. He was a Nobel Prize winner, you know, like 50 years ago. High-dose vitamin C has an amazing effect on the body in terms of its healing, and it's also a great chelating agent for heavy metals and other VOCs and herbicides and pesticides and that kind of thing. So we talk to patients about their nutritional needs. Now, the problem, Randy, is that in this country, as you probably know, there's only 3 medical schools in the country that even teach their students nutrition. And it's a short course. So here we have all these physicians coming out here. They're taught how to try and get people healthy who are sick, but they're not taught how to keep them healthy when they're well. And that's a very, very important part of keeping your overall health. And I try and promote more of that in my practice. I try and promote physicians also who know about nutritional needs of the body, and a lot of things can be traced back to the nutritional deficiencies. And instead of giving them a pharmaceutical drug, sometimes doing a supplement or a holistic alternative supplement can actually improve the problem, get rid of the problem for the patient. So there's a lot involved in this. It's not simple. And I had to educate myself because in dental school we get no nutritional information. So I had to go to numerous, many courses and learn a lot about nutrition to help. And I only know a little bit, but I know enough basic nutrition to help support a patient.
Yeah, my father as a doctor was a big follower of Linus Pauling, and when he was helping infertility specialists, helping patients conceive, he would give them the full dose, Linus Pauling's dose of the vitamin C, and we've always taken a whole lot, and it's great to know it's so good for the teeth as well. So how can parents We hear so much about sugars, the bad thing for teeth, and parents try to keep their kids off the sugar and sodas, I'm hoping. But can you mention just in general the dietary supports that are best for a child to grow healthy teeth, like the getting healthy minerals and vitamins?
Well, probably it's easier to talk about what they shouldn't be doing. I recommend your children have some candy. I think if you're going to keep candy or away from them, when they're off on their own, they're going to kind of go berserk, and they may wind up becoming a, you know, candy holic or something like
right.
that.
Right, hidden.
But the type of candy or the type of food they eat is very important in cleaning their teeth. For instance, I would rather have a child eat a piece of candy, swallow it, they're done with it. The children that suck on sodas, they're constantly bathing their teeth with sugar. Caramels, things that stick to the teeth, if you're going to have them, they got to brush them immediately afterwards because that sugar sticks to the teeth. So it's not just that they're eating the sugar, which isn't itself so bad, usually. It's how long that sugar is in contact with the tooth. So these, you know, some of these teenage kids will have regular sugared sodas and they'll suck on it all day long. And their teeth are going to literally rot out of their head, quite honestly. Mountain Dew is probably one of the worst sodas you could possibly drink because I think there's like 10 teaspoons of sugar in every can or something like that. And I've never seen as much devastation as I've seen with Mountain Dew drinkers. Equally well, you should stay away from the artificial sweeteners because they play havoc with your body. Aspartame is related, some people relate it to brain cancers, you get headaches, it increases your appetite instead of decreasing your appetite. There's other things you can take. Xylitol is a very good artificial sweetener. Stevia is a natural sweetener that works very well. There's other artificial natural sweeteners. You don't want to do Splenda. That stuff is awful for your body. High fructose corn syrup is really very bad. You should try and avoid that as much as possible. You've heard of high fructose corn syrup, right?
Sure, of course, yes. This is great,
you know,
what you're saying.
Here's a little tidbit for your trivia. Do you know why it's called high fructose corn syrup?
Well, I know it's extracted from the corn, and
right.
It is high fructose, but they're trying to get away from implying that it's glucose.
Actually, it does not have the high fructose. It's not called that because of it. What happens is they take healthy corn syrup from corn, and they process it so high temperatures that it destroys the natural bonds and the natural chains in the corn to make chains that your body can't even digest. But the reason it's called high fructose corn syrup, it's high temperature processed corn syrup. It's the temperature that's the high, not the fructose. And it's that high temperature that damages the corn syrup, and parts of it are undigestible by the body. And it causes, this is why it's been linked to obesity and diabetes and other things, because the body really cannot really process it real well.
Right. Oh, that's a fascinating tidbit that I didn't know. And what you've said about like the artificial sweeteners, that's not a substitute. And like all the other foods, it's not just candy as a category. You've got to know, don't deprive them of Halloween, but make sure they're not eating the sticky, gluey stuff cleaning afterwards. So we just have a couple of minutes to close, so I just wanted to focus on parents who are looking for the right kind of dental care. So what would you recommend that a patient would say if they were going to a new dentist? Just ask some questions about their procedures and what kinds of practice they have along these mercury and fluoride.
Exactly. Lines. Yeah, I have like 50 pages of my book devoted to how to find a new dentist. You got to really do a little interviewing and go on the web and check them out before you actually set foot in the office. But you want to make sure, remember, just because they're not putting mercury fillings in your mouth, if they're putting it in someone else's mouth, that means there's mercury vapor in the office. So you're exposed even just walking in there. You're better off going to a practice that does not put mercury fillings in patients' teeth. You're better off going to an office that will allow you not to use fluoride without making you feel like you're a child molester or something like that, because you don't want fluoride for your children. So those are just some really quick ones that you should ask. If they're taking precautions, that's so much the better. If they're not and you still have to use them, just go to biosafedentistry.com and do the Protect Pack and the vitamin C and all that. And that at least will protect them when they go into the office. So those are just a couple of things they could do for themselves. And don't allow them to put metal in your mouth. If you need a crown, get a porcelain restoration. Don't do a metal and porcelain because the metal is damaging. Went over hundreds of alloys that dental office is using for my book, I found out that 30 or 40% of them have nickel and beryllium in them. And those are, if you look at the EPA website, those are precarcinogens. You don't really want them in your mouth, you know, 10, 20 years. So you want to use a porcelain restoration to restore your teeth. So those are just a couple of things you may want to take into account.
Great. Well, I found you by Googling holistic dentist in my area, and I was looking for a biologic dentist in the Pennsylvania area after mine retired, and the BioSafe Dentistry just makes sense in every way. So let's just review how people can get a hold of your book, The Dental Office, How to Protect Yourself and Your Family, and your websites, if you would, Dr. Robbins.
Sure. The book is also available on BioSafeDentistry.com, and my website for my practice is DonaldRobbinsDMD.com. There's a lot of information on both those sites that will help you understand a little bit better what you need for your teeth, what fluoride and mercury can do for you or against you, and a lot more information. So they can, again, email me, drrobbins@donaldrobbinsdmd.com.
Great. Well, I really appreciate you being a guest, and I think we've given some really critical information to parents today. So thank you very much,
okay.
And have a happy new year, Dr. Robbins.
Yeah, one other thing, protecting your health on webtalkradio.net is the alternative medicine show that we do with Dr. Boyle, who's a biochemist, a PhD biochemistry. If they want to hear some interesting stories, that's also a possibility, webtalkradio.net. Protecting your health. So thank you very much, Randy.
Okay, Web Talk Radio.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.